You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during signup. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players. So what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a sports betting perspective. With pro handicappers Alex B. Smith and Ian Cameron, and veteran sports writer Jimmy Murphy. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network, Tuesday, May the 4th. I know if you're a Star Wars fan, you're excited because it's May the 4th be with you day. That's always what we get on this day each and every year. But we are here to talk, not Star Wars, but NHL hockey on this Tuesday edition of the Ice Guys. Ian Cameron, your host, Jimmy Murphy with me as well, as we're ready to break down the Tuesday slate. A lot of rematches tonight. A lot of the same matchups we saw last night. Same two teams back in action tonight. So you could say this is a rematch night, revenge night, whatever you want to call it. But we'll get to the games in just a second. We'll look back first on the Monday slate. We'll get to the games first, and then, of course, we'll talk about the incident that's got everybody up in arms, or at least most people, the Tom Wilson shit show that went down at Madison Square Garden last night in New York. But, you know, last night we saw give the Buffalo Sabres credit, huh? I mean, wow, Michael Hauser, pretty cool story with Michael Hauser last night for the Sabres. You know, a guy that's been toiling in the ECHL and the minor leagues of hockey for many years, is now 28 years old, gets an opportunity to be a starting goalie last night for the Sabres, and they pull the monster upset, come back from a deficit to beat the New York Islanders as huge underdogs in that one. Pretty cool moment for him. So cool that they're right back with him in net tonight in the turnaround against the Islanders in the back-to-back tonight. So pretty cool moment for him as the Sabres, again, not being a pushover for any team right now that they play. And they showed it again last night. The Minnesota Wild, we had to check on our boy, Terry Edelman. We had to make sure he was still breathing. We had to make sure he was still alive. He still had a pulse following what the Minnesota Wild did last night. Unbelievable, really, what happened, because it was 5-3 with about as little as, you know, 3 or 4 minutes left in that game. And Minnesota ended up making it 5-4. They end up pulling the goalie. They strike again from Kaprizov to tie the game at 5. And then the go-ahead game-winning goal just seconds later, putting the Golden Knights in a state of shock, really. Everybody in a state of shock. An unbelievable comeback for the Minnesota Wild, down 2 in the third with only minutes to go. And they come back and not only win, they win in regulation. I believe that was one of Jimmy Murphy's calls on the card last night, too. So Minnesota in regulation finds a way to get it done. Unbelievable job. Boston Bruins put the boots to the New Jersey Devils. Really impressive performance. I think the shots were 16-1 at one point in the first period. Bruins came out ready to go, and they got it done. Pittsburgh falls flat to the Flyers. They just laid a clunker, laid an egg, a stink bomb, whatever you want to call it. The Washington Capitals, will get to, of course, the main incident here with Wilson, but they beat the Rangers, but overshadowed by the fact, and we'll get into it now. Look, it was, I know some people are going to say that the defenders of what's happened and the defenders of Tom Wilson only getting a $5,000 fine here are going to say that's just your typical scrum after the whistle that can sometimes get rough, that can sometimes get physical. It wasn't a hit to the head. It wasn't one of those isolated, you know, one-on-one contact things or a knee-on-knee, a vicious knee-on-knee that you sometimes see guys get suspended for. It was a scrum after the whistle. I get it, but it is reckless, dangerous behavior from someone that's involved in far too much reckless, dangerous behavior in his hockey playing past. When he goes in there, not only it's the first thing he does was a sucker punch to the side of the head of Buchnevich when he's lying on his freaking stomach, you know, on the ice. That's the first thing he did. And give credit to Panarin, who's just a small guy. He jumps on the back of Wilson trying to defend his teammate. And then there's Wilson basically grabbing him, almost like a mini slew foot. I think I saw a little bit of a movement where he's trying to kick the leg out from under Panarin. And then sure enough, he slams him down to the ice. And Panarin does hit his head on the ice when he went down. And thank goodness it was the side of the head. He didn't land flush on the skull. Or we're talking about something potentially devastating and catastrophic to Artemi Panarin last night in that game. It was just way too excessive. You don't have to be that physical, that rough, especially on a guy that you know is going to find it difficult to fight back against you. From a size perspective, fighting is not Panarin's thing. And that, to me, is why, to me, I'm in the camp of Tom Wilson going too far here, going over the edge. And because of the fact he's been involved in so many incidents in the past, you can say what you want. Sometimes it's going to get rough. Sometimes someone's going to get hurt in a scrum. I get it. And that's the defender saying that. And that's why they say, okay, we're fine with no suspension. But why I'm not fine with it is because of who did it and the way he was excessive with his actions, his physical actions on the ice. Like he was punching a guy in the side of the head when he's not looking. He's not even looking at Wilson. And he punches Buchnevich right in the side of the head. And then he throws Panarin down to the ice and then, of course, hits the side of his head. Thank goodness. Thank gosh, it was the side of the head because it could have been something a lot worse than that. To me, it's just it should have been a suspendable offense based on everything else this guy has done. He's creeping closer and closer and closer to Matt Cook, Rafi Torres territory, to be quite honest with you. That's where we're trending with Tom Wilson. How many more times do you have to slap him on the wrist and try to be light on him and he doesn't get the clue, he doesn't get the message? And it's the same old shit over and over and over again. So I don't agree with it that there was a fine and no suspension. There should have been something here in this game. And there's bad job all around, not only by Wilson, but who on earth, and I can't imagine for the life of me, what kind of bird brain, what kind of fucking moron you have to be it running the social media capital Twitter feed last night, putting that meme and that image up there where, you know, of Tom Wilson and basically making light of the incident and saying, hey, it's okay. Tom Wilson's just doing what he's doing here. Unbelievable. You notice it got removed. I mean, yeah. I'm sure Ted Leonsis got word of it, the owner of the Capitals, and said, you got to shut that shit down. Take that thing right off right now. I'm sure he got he probably was the one that got it taken down. No question about it. But definitely to me should have been a suspension of some kind. Again, the detractors, Jimmy, will say it was a scrum. Sometimes someone's going to get hurt in a scrum, but you don't have to be that demonstrative and slam a guy to the ice, almost a mini slew foot, and have his head almost crack open on the ice. It was that scary and that close to being something really, really unfortunate for Artemi Panarin, who now, by the way, is going to miss the rest of the season. And props to Sam Rosen, you know, in the Ranger broadcast when I saw that live, because I actually saw it live as it was happening and he was disgusted by it. And he was doing it in a calm, you know, measured manner. I know some other Jack Edwards, for instance, when something like that happens to a Bruin player, he'll go off the rails. Rosen did it in a calm, measured manner with his tirade to Wilson. I like when Wilson's doing the flex, like, oh, look how tough I am. Look how mean I am. He's like, oh yeah. Yeah. That's impressive. He says, I got a chuckle out of that. But nevertheless, I didn't agree with only a fine and no suspension with Tom Wilson. Jimmy, what do you think? I know you've got some thoughts. You mentioned them on Twitter last night. Tom Wilson, here we go. When on earth are we going to not have a story to talk about with this guy?
Well, first of all, let me just say flat out to get it out of the way, just so you know, I'm trying to be as objective as I can, but I never have liked Tom Wilson. I've given the benefit of doubt in the past and said he's one of these players, you know, You love him if he's on your team. You hate him if you don't, but it's worse. And that's a Brad Marchand. Okay. There's a difference between Brad Marchand and Tom Wilson. And for all these analogies and these whataboutism experts out there that came at me last night when I went off on Wilson, just throwing me Marchand clips. No, like he licks somebody. Nobody's going to a hospital from a lick. Well, I don't know, unless he's got some kind of disease or something. But, you know, nobody's going to a hospital from a lick. No, you know, nobody's getting seriously hurt from a lick. And then somebody said, oh, well, what about when he sucker punched the guy in Columbus there and all that? Yeah, I went back and checked it out. Actually, it wasn't nearly as bad as what Wilson did last night or what Wilson has done in the past. And my thing with Wilson, too, is you can't compare him and Brad Marchand, because Brad Marchand is like, you know, a little midget like me here, you know, 5'6", 5'7", 5'8", whatever. And Wilson's a monster. And Marchand will go after guys twice his size. Wilson never fights anyone his size. He's always going after a little guy. He's like the big schoolyard bully. And what the NHL is telling us now with a $5,000 fine, that's it, is that they're behind bullying. They're behind behavior like this. They're fine with that. It's just a little scrum. No, it's not just a little scrum. And by the way, you're about to get thrown into the national sports media spotlight even more with your new TV deal starting next year. All right. Do you want to go in when you're trying to lure in new fans? And I get violence sells, but stupidity doesn't. And do you want to go in and have this be what you're trying to sell to those marginal fans or those non-hockey fans that you're trying to lure in on TNT and ESPN? I don't think so. I think they completely dropped the ball here. And I know right now, I'm telling you right now, that there is some dissension in what happened here amongst some people in the NHL Player Safety Department. They're embarrassed that this was the decision that was come to. There's people I know that work in that department right now that are good people and do the right thing when they can. And this was not the right thing. And I don't know who, you know, it's Paros or whoever who's making the final call here. It's a joke. And another thing that this shows me, too, is one thing that's not being spoken about enough in this situation is Tom Wilson is an NHL player rep for the Washington Capitals. That is playing a major role in why this piece of shit coward keeps getting away with stuff. It's because the NHL doesn't want to rob the PA. There's been a CBA harmony lately. They've been getting along. They've been getting things done. Credit to them. And they don't want to rock the boat too much right now and have to deal with any problems with the NHLPA. So basically, this guy's getting a free pass. And people say, oh, he got suspended 20 games. Well, really? They reduced it to 14. Or he got suspended 7 for Carlo. He should have got 14 for Carlo. And he should have got about 20 to 25 minimum for what he did last night. What is the difference between what Sean Thornton did to Brooks Koepka, what is it, 7 years ago now in 2014? Go look up the video. I just tweeted it too. Go look at that and tell me what the difference is to what Wilson just did to Buchnevich. Tell me. Nothing. There is no difference. It was almost the exact same play, but just from a different angle. And the problem is, as I was saying to you off the air, Ian, and this is the end of my rant, don't worry, is that this stupid league continues to base things on result. They punish the result and not the act. And until somebody gets knocked out like Orpik did, or until somebody gets serious brain damage like so many players in the past have, and they file a lawsuit, or somebody goes to the hospital, or somebody, God forbid, dies, and that's coming. Trust me. That will come in the next 5 years if the NHL doesn't get their shit together. Somebody will die on the ice. I guarantee it. And until they start to punish the act and not the result, that's where we're headed.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know how close we were to, I don't want to say a death, but like serious, like a splitting open of someone's skull and serious damage, you know, brain damage for life. That's how close we were with, if he lands basically a quarter of an inch or, you know, maybe a few degrees one way or another angle wise with his head and his skull on the ice, it could have been something catastrophic and potentially tragic. Last night with Artemi Panarin in that situation. Jimmy's going off, but we got to hear him first.
I'm all for fighting. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I like fights. I think there's a time and a place for him. If it's organic and it develops from the moment, in the heat of the moment, I've got no issues with it. I think it still needs to be part of the game. And I know that people are going to say, well, you can't have it both ways. Well, no, there's a big difference between fighting and what Tom Wilson does. There's a very big difference. Now, will Tom Wilson answer the bell if somebody comes after him next game? Yeah, he will. I'll give him credit there. But then again, so did Matt Cook. That didn't change the fact that Matt Cook was a coward piece of shit like Wilson. It's just enough is enough. And you know what? I will have no issues. And he's an idiot, too. He picked the wrong team to do this to last night. This is a team that clearly told us, last week, we spoke about it yesterday, on Saturday, they clearly said, that's it. We're throwing in a towel. We don't give a shit about this season anymore. So yep. You think they give a shit if one of their fourth line players has a suspension that carries into a few games next season after he goes out and gets Tom Wilson? If I'm the Rangers right now, I'm picking whoever they think they don't need the most in the first few games of the season next year. And I'm throwing in a bunch of money, get it all together, throw it in a hat for him. Here you go, buddy. Now go take him out. Take his knees out. Take his face out. Hurt him. Hurt him the way he's hurt so many. And that's what's going to happen, and it's the NHL's fault.
Yeah, there's definitely some truth to that, that there could be retribution because he's going to play.
Yeah, you know, what do the Rangers have to lose? What do the Rangers have to lose right now? Why wouldn't the Rangers go after Backstrom? I don't think Ovechkin's going to play, but why won't they go after Backstrom? I would. No. You want to go after Panarin? Okay, yeah. we're gonna take Backstrom out. If that's what the NHL wants, and they want it to get they're in big trouble.
That's the thing. I mean, at least if you suspend him, that's the thing. He's not going to be back for a while. It's going to at least diffuse the situation. It's going to at least make the team that had that happen to their player Panarin in the Rangers case. It's going to relieve them a little bit. It's maybe going to calm them down, calm the waters a little bit. But now no suspension, and you know damn well the next time they play the Capitals, they're going to be looking to set things right. Because you hear everything that Zibanejad and everybody, the Rangers players, Quinn said after that game last night, and they were absolutely livid with the fact that what happened. And you know that if they have a chance maybe to do something about it, they may be able to take advantage of it and act on it. The next time they face Tom Wilson in the Capitals. So, yeah, unfortunate situation there. But again, Tom Wilson in the spotlight, once again, for all the wrong reasons, unfortunately.
And it's sad, too, because he could be a great player.
He's a good player. That's what Rosen said on the MSG broadcast. He says, I like his game. He's a good player. But he can't like it when he's getting suspended for this and that. And the
whole
thing,
antics in the box, too, going like this and flex. Grow up.
Yeah,
just grow up. What are you in high school?
Yeah,
get a life. Seriously,
doing that because you took out Buchnevich and Panarin.
Yeah,
and actually, I like the Twitter.
You're cool.
The Twitter feed or the Twitter post that someone had. They have Panarin or Tom Wilson when he can dominate and takes on someone that won't fight back, and he's like this, and then they show a shot of him cowering when Matt Martin's going after him in a game previously. Yeah, it's like when he's dealing with someone in his weight class, someone that will fight him back. Yeah, it's a different Tom Wilson, isn't it? A little bit in that case. Not quite as tough.
I'll tell you, you brought up the social media guy. I know we got to get into the games. But man, what a tone-deaf idiot, whoever that social media guy
is. That's
was
not being tone-deaf. That's just being a fucking moron. It's not even tone-deaf anymore.
Yeah, I don't know, Ian.
An utter imbecile at that point.
Well, you know what the problem is? And I'm going to sound like an old man here. You know, the old miserable man. But, you know, a lot of these Twitter handles are run by like 22-year-old interns just out of college. That's the problem with some of these teams, right? And they're still growing up, so to speak. You know, just like Tom Wilson's got to grow up, a lot of these kids have to grow up too when they get out of college and they're still doing the social media there for an NHL team. And sometimes they're in over their head and they think something's going to be funny. Yeah, you're right. It's an imbecile move, but I just think that, you know, you said it right. I guarantee it was Leontis because he's a classy guy. He wouldn't allow that, you know. So, but that was just, I'm like, oh, this is not going to end well. That tweet will not age well.
No, it won't. And sure enough, you know, only 5 minutes after I retweeted it, I just failed to load tweet because it had been taken down. And you're right. That's a call from the owner. I'm positive for that because he is a good man.
Somebody out of a job is what it is.
Yeah. And I think they're finding a new social media convener moving forward for this Washington Capitals Twitter feed. Nevertheless, we'll move on to tonight's NHL slate. But certainly that's going to add a little juice to the Capitals Rangers tomorrow night. And we'll break that down on the Wednesday card. We'll start our Tuesday slate, five games with Boston, New Jersey. Again, these are all rematches from last night. We've got Boston minus 230, road favorites, total 5.5 here across the board in this one. The return of Jaro Halak tonight, Jimmy, for the Boston Bruins. He will be the starting goalie for Boston in this game against the Devils. We'll see where the Devils go for their goalie. They haven't confirmed anybody yet on this back-to-back situation. But, hey, the monkey is off the back for the Bruins as they take care of business against New Jersey last night. Definitely a team that is trying to make sure they keep improving, going into the playoffs, playing good hockey. I think there is some onus that the Bruins want to do that. Will they keep it going here tonight? That remains to be seen. Second night of back-to-backs. I don't really have a strong feel for this game. I know I had the over last night and it stayed under, but maybe tonight I might go back to it. We'll see. I'm not, you know, it's been a while since Halak played, and let's be honest, he didn't play all that great. The last time we saw him in between the pipes for the Bruins, he was fighting the puck quite a bit, no question. But Boston is playing pretty good defensive hockey right now. They really have shored up that game. They're not giving away a whole lot. The Buffalo game was just one of those efficient, you know, sturdy, sound, defensive, grinded out type wins. Same with last night. They didn't give New Jersey much. I lean to the over. Don't know if I'll bet it, but that's the lean for me, over 5.5 here. Nothing on the side. Jimmy, what do you think, Bruins and Devils?
Yeah, I mean, you always get. I wish I did a little more research. I was just busy this morning, but I'd like to see the record of teams in the game after they clinch the playoff berth. I don't have it in front of me, but you know, there's always that potential for a letdown there. That's why I'm kind of wary. I mean, I know it's the Vancouver Canucks,
definitely,
but I'm wary of Edmonton as well tonight, and I'm kind of wary of the Bruins there. And like you brought up, Halak has not looked well in this second half of the season. Yes, obviously he had the COVID pause, and that's going to get anybody out of whack, and it's going to take a while for him to find his game. But just even before that, he was trending the wrong way, and there's been something off. So I'm going to stay away from this game, but if I'm looking at this, there's one part of me that says, all right, this guy wants to come out now and show that he's got his game ready for the playoffs, because he's essentially losing his backup spot to Jeremy Swayman. Trust me, if they start the playoffs tomorrow, Jeremy Swayman's the backup, not Jaro Halak. So I wonder if that motivation helps him finally find his game tonight. And that's why, Ian, I would kind of go the opposite way. If I was going to do anything on this game, I would actually touch the total, but I would go the opposite way and look at the under. Just based on the dismal performance from the Devils last night, I don't see them being much better. They really just kind of like, screw it. You know, it is what it is now. So I would lean towards the under, but I'm going to pass on this one.
All right. Passing on this one, but you're right. Halak might have that incentive because he knows, you know, he could be behind Rask and Swayman right now with this team,
from
a goaltending standpoint. So this is important. This is a start where, look, if he wants to even get a little bit of an inkling of a potential to start moving forward, he's going to have to show something here in this game against the Devils tonight. And again, the Devils shut down by the Bruins tonight. We'll see if they can get their offense going here tonight in the rematch. Next game on the slate here, we've got the Chicago Blackhawks and the Carolina Hurricanes in this one. Carolina minus 290 home favorites here. The total 6 shaded to the over, 6.5 in some spots. The same two bets for me that I went with last night. They went 2-0 in this game. The Carolina team total over 3.5 cashed. The game went over the total for the full game as well. I think I'm going to stick with those exact same two bets here tonight in this game with Chicago and Carolina. I like Carolina team total over 3.5 again, minus 145. And I like the full game over 6, even 6.5, if that's all that you can find. I would go with that as well. Colin Delia will be in net for Chicago. He hasn't started in a very long time. I remember he had been out for a bit. They've been going with mostly Kevin Lankinen and Malcolm Subban once in a while. It's been a while since Dealey has played. This Blackhawk defense in front of him right now, or in front of any of their goalies right now, is just not very good, not keeping the puck out of their own net. Breakdowns, just too many odd man rushes as well. That's been an issue And we saw it again last night in the loss to Carolina. I don't think it's a good situation for Delia with a defense that's not playing well. And we mentioned the Calvin DeHaan absence is significant for the Blackhawks because he's their best stay-at-home, shutdown defenseman. So this looks like a night where Carolina scores the majority of the goals again, probably. They're still trying to, you know, make sure they put their foot down and win first place in the division. As long as Florida, you know, who beat Dallas in overtime last night, as long as Florida keeps winning, there's still going to be pressure on Carolina to keep winning and make sure that they keep ahead of the Panthers for first in the division. So I don't think Carolina's taking anything for granted tonight. I'm on Carolina team total over 3.5 minus 145 and also full game over 6 minus 130. Jimmy, what do you think here? Blackhawks and Hurricanes.
Yeah, it's just, you know, look, to the Blackhawks, just they gave us more than we expected this season, but I think it's, you know, the reality is obviously set in for them. Yeah, I like Carolina. I'm actually going to, just because you can't get much value, like I'm going to get a little creative like you did there too. I'm going to do Carolina puck line in the first period on this one just to get a little more value there. I see them coming out strong out of the gate against a rusty goalie. They'll throw some – I'm even tempted to do the over as well in the first period. I see some quick strikes by the Hurricanes as they get things going there tonight.
Yeah, that's even money, by the way. So Jimmy Lycan, Carolina, first period puck line, minus a half goal in the first period, plus 100. So for Carolina to be leading after 20 minutes, definitely something that's doable, I think, for the Hurricanes tonight. Pittsburgh Penguins, Philadelphia Flyers, Keystone State rivalry rematch. And look, just an absolute clunker from the Pittsburgh Penguins. There's nothing else you can say. It was a really rough first period. Philly got a very lucky bounce on one of their goals in that first period, came off the boards and right to Giroux, and he ripped it top corner. But nevertheless, it was a poor first period for the Penguins. They'll be looking to play a lot better tonight. Pittsburgh minus 155, road favorites, total 6.5 here, depending on where you look. You know, the over cashed for me last night. Pittsburgh did not. I took Pittsburgh in regulation. They fell short. I'm probably coming back once again over the total. It's hard not to with the Flyers involved, and the Flyers can still score at times, and we saw that last night against Casey DeSmith. But Pittsburgh going back to Tristan Jarry in net tonight, who's actually played a lot better lately after a rough start to the season. Remember how bad Jarry was the first few games of the season, and boy, he's played a lot better since then. I think Pittsburgh, I don't know what it was, they had beat Washington twice and they took first place in the division, took over first place in the division with those two victories against the Capitals. But the Capitals beat the Rangers last night to draw even with Pittsburgh for first in the division. I think Pittsburgh means business tonight and comes out a lot better. So I'm doing a bunch of things here. I'm going to do the first period puck line in this game with the Pittsburgh Penguins and get a nice plus price with that. You can get Pittsburgh puck line in this game at minus a half is plus 145 here with Pittsburgh in the first period. So to have the lead going into the first intermission, plus 145 for that Pittsburgh puck line, minus a half goal. I like that. And I'm also going to bet Pittsburgh in regulation again tonight. Didn't come in last night, but I'm going to go with it here tonight. Pittsburgh Penguins in regulation, which is around even money, plus 100. And I'm also going to go with the full game over 6.5, depending on which book you have. So three bets here. Pittsburgh first period puck line, minus a half, plus 145, Pittsburgh in regulation, even money, and the game to go over the total. Jimmy, what do you think, Penguins and Flyers?
Like, yeah, they're going to come firing out of the gate. I'm with you on that. They're going to want to redeem themselves from probably one of their worst performances of the season. So I'm going to jump on that as well, Ian. Give me the Pittsburgh Penguins puck line in the first period, too.
Yeah, good price, plus 145. And all they got to do is lead after 20 minutes, and we get a good number there to maybe cash in at that very attractive plus price. With the Penguins in the first period to lead after 20 minutes. Islanders and Sabres. We've got the Islanders minus 230, road favorites. The total 5.5 here, shaded to the under in this one. I don't think I'm going to take the Islanders in regulation because the price isn't good enough. I definitely am not laying a puck line, full game puck line with the Islanders because, again, with their offense, sometimes they sit on a lead, and if they have a two-goal lead in the third period, they might let in a goal, and there's your puck line down the drain. So they'd rather just, you know, cruise home to victory when they have a lead. But I think they're going to have a good start tonight, you know, after coughing up that third-period lead to the Buffalo Sabres last night. And look, Michael Hauser and Sabres played well for him. You know, we've seen multiple examples now of teams playing very, very well for their goalie. You know, Anaheim did it with Ryan Miller on the weekend in his final home start. And you could tell the Sabres, you know, they dug in for Michael Hauser. They rallied around that whole situation and story. And it's a cool story. You know, a guy's been toiling around in the minor leagues for years and years and years. He probably never thinks, you know, probably as of a month ago, 2 months ago, Michael Hauser's thinking to himself, I'm never going to start a game in the NHL. And now all of a sudden, here it is, 28 years old. He gets that start and they win in his first start. You also could see maybe a small little hangover from last night. It was almost like a party atmosphere for the Sabres. Not only a rare win for them, but just the situation surrounding it involving Michael Hauser. So I think the Islanders, you know, obviously Barry Trotz is never going to like it when his team blows a lead. Defense is where they hang their hat on. Defense is what Barry Trotz, of course, has made his name with. Good sound structure, good sound fundamental defensive hockey for all these 20 years that he's been a head coach. I'd expect the Islanders to get back to it here tonight. My bet here is going to be simply one bet. I think it's the best way to approach it if you like the Islanders here. First period puck line, New York Islanders, minus a half, plus 125 is the price with that. New York Islanders to lead after 20 minutes. Islanders first period puck line. I'm the first period puck line guy tonight. This is another me. Islanders minus a half goal, plus 125 in the first period. What do you think here, Jimmy? Islanders, Sabres.
I don't see a lot of goals in this one. I think you're right. The Islanders will want to buckle up their team defense because obviously, like you said, that's their bread and butter here. So I'm going to actually go with the total going under for the whole game in this one. Give me the under 5.5.
Yeah. Again, I lean full game puck line with the Islanders too, but again, just not crazy about that one. I'd rather isolate that first period because I think the first 20 minutes out of the gate is when you're going to get the Islanders, I think, maybe playing their best. Yep. You know, after what we saw from them last night. And they have had quick starts lately. Let's not the two games against the Rangers, they got off to a fast start. I think the first period was their best period in both of those games. That's why I think the first period is the better look than the full game to support the Islanders tonight. Final game on this Tuesday card, Edmonton Oilers, Vancouver Canucks. We've got Edmonton minus 165. That's the first period number. We've got Edmonton in this one in terms of the full game, minus 200 to minus 205, 210 in some spots as well. Big road chalk, as you would expect. The total 6 shaded to the over in this one. You're right, Edmonton clinched a playoff spot, Jimmy. You mentioned it. You're a little worried about that back-to-back against the Canucks. And look, they did need an empty net goal to cover my best bet with the puck line last night, minus 1.5 to win 5-3. Pretty decent effort from Vancouver, but it was really Holtby keeping them in the game. The shots were like 31-16 at one point in favor of the Oilers, and Koskinen was not at his best, so that made the game probably closer than it should have been. Edmonton really did control the play, though, for the most part. And yeah, you know, I'm still going to take that puck line on Edmonton here in this game, minus 1.5, plus 120. I mean, I just think it's until Vancouver beats me in one of these games from a betting standpoint, I got to keep going against them here. Even with that clinching of the playoff spot last night for the Oilers, you know, they're still trying to stay in the second spot. I think they will. They should stay ahead of either Montreal or Winnipeg at this point in time. But they haven't totally, ruled themselves out of catching. It's going to take a mad, mad dash for them to catch the Leafs, but they are mathematically alive still for that first place spot in the division. They're probably not going to get it, but I don't think Edmonton's just going to cruise. And to be honest with you, even if Edmonton's kind of lackadaisical tonight, is Vancouver in any kind of position to take advantage of that? You got to ask yourself that because it has been obviously a rough go, a tough schedule, a really brutal situation all around. The team's struggling right now. They're physically, mentally, emotionally worn down. The games are starting to pile up. Think about the schedule too. How can you expect Vancouver to be sharp here? They played all those road games, Ottawa, Toronto, two games in Ottawa, two in Toronto. This is now going to be their third game in 4 days with travel from Toronto back to Vancouver following the game Saturday. This could be just a team that just hits an absolute wall in terms of their physical gas tank going into this game tonight. So I'm going to stick with it. I don't love that it won't be my best bet on today's show like it was last night, but I'm going to stick to it. Edmonton puck line here, minus 1.5. Plus 120. I was on the over. I added the over last night in the game as well. I don't know if I'll bet it tonight because it'll be Mike Smith probably in net for the Oilers tonight after Koskinen got the start in last night's game. And of course, Mike Smith has been very, very solid in net for the Edmonton Oilers, and he is indeed confirmed to be the goalie tonight for Edmonton. But I absolutely will be back on the Oiler puck line in this game. Yeah, McDavid points props and to score a goal. That, I think you should bet that every night. They're trying to get him to 100 points. Like, they're not saying it. Tyson Barrie, I like Tyson Barrie's quote. What do you guys think about Connor McDavid's drive to 100 points and you guys trying to get him there? He says, well, he doesn't need our help to get there. He'll get there by himself. That was a pretty cool quote, but it's true. I think there's going to be an onus, though, for the Oilers. You have a chance to set this guy up or him to get points or him to put him in a position to score a goal. They're going to make sure they get him there. So I think every game from here on out, over points, score a goal prop, anything to do with McDavid, probably worth looking at, probably worth putting a few bucks on those for the rest of the season, at least until he gets to that 100-point plateau, which I think he's going to get there. Jimmy, what do you think here, Edmonton-Vancouver?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking there might be I like what you pointed out there, though. Edmonton does, just like the Bruins, too. I mean, these teams are clinched. They still want to make sure they're going, they're in good form going in. So they're not going to just coast. But there could be a little bit of a letdown in this one, and that's why I kind of like the total going under in this. Just the way Vancouver is right now, they're struggling. And then, you know, maybe Edmonton has a bit of that letdown, and that leads to them scoring less. So give me the under here. And, yeah, in terms of – you know, doing a prop on McDavid getting points. Do the same thing with Austin Matthews, too. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the Leafs-Habs last night and him and Marner break in there 2-on-0, basically. And it's like they were talking about it earlier. I think I was listening to Hockey Central, and they said, look, if you're that goalie, you know, there's no guess game there. You know that they're going to go to Matthews to get him the shot and get the goal, no matter what. I mean, Marner can have a complete beautiful chance, and he's going to – and sure enough, he does. He passes it to Matthews. So it's like – you got to know that the team has that mindset. They know that their teammate is in the middle of an historic run here, something we haven't seen, geez, since I was in like high school, which is a long time ago. So it's, you know, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. And for all those people who are going to try and put an asterisk next to this, screw you. This is still amazing. And I think it's more amazing what they're doing in a condensed schedule with less rest, with COVID and everything that's gone on, to be able to have the seasons they're having for McDavid and Matthews is just simply amazing.
No doubt. Of course, I think they deserve even more credit, actually, for their accomplishments rather than less and putting asterisks and all this nonsense beside what they're doing on the ice. They deserve full credit, full marks. I mean, tough schedule in terms of number of games played in a shorter period of time, and the fact that Matthews has got the number of goals he does. And of course, McDavid's going to very likely hit 100 points. Absolutely can't say enough about the seasons they both had. And could you imagine if they go head to head in the playoffs at some point, the Leafs and the Oilers, which could happen? Because if Toronto plays Winnipeg instead of Montreal, Montreal-Edmonton, you know, you could have a Toronto-Edmonton division final when it's all said and done. What a series that would be if indeed it were to happen. But I'm definitely, you know what, as much as I like the puck line, I like it with the Edmonton puck line. I think I like the McDavid props even more tonight because I think he's probably, again, they are really going to go after it. The team's talked about it matters to them. McDavid's downplayed it because he always does. He doesn't like making it about him. He said, whatever, you know, if I get there, I get there. It's just a number. You know, you got to like the attitude, you know, taking the classy, you know, the humble route, talking about it, but the teammates want to get it for him. And I think deep down inside, he won't say it, Connor, but deep down inside, he wants to get it as well. No question about it. Get to that 100-point mark, which would be amazing. I mean, 100 points in a 56-game season. Think about that. The guy almost nearly 2 points per game, you know, with that kind of clip, you know, on average. So unbelievable stuff from Connor McDavid this season for the Edmonton Oilers. And yeah, points props and goal scoring props with McDavid seem to be the way to go until he gets to that game in and game out, until he gets to that 100-point mark. Great analysis with Jimmy Murphy and me, as always, here on the Tuesday NHL card, and a little rant and a little bit of excitement as well, talking about Tom Wilson, which is always good, keeps the show entertaining, which is what we aim to do. We aim to give you winners. We aim to give you good betting information and analysis, but we want to entertain as well. That's what we do here at the Ice Guys. Before we get to best bets, a reminder, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Sign up for an account. Use the promo code THPN. Great time of year, NHL, NBA, and Major League Baseball on a daily basis. Great time to sign up for an account. at DraftKings. When you do that, you'll get a deposit bonus. There's also weekly specials and incentives. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, sign up for an account, and use the promo code THPN. All right, it is time for best bets for this Tuesday card. Definitely not as much on the menu to choose from compared to last night with only five games. But Jimmy, we'll start with you. What do you like for best bet tonight?
I'm liking that Penguins first period puck line for sure. I like them just coming out flying. So I will go with that.
All right, Pittsburgh Penguins, first period puck line, minus a half goal, plus 145. Good price there against the Philadelphia Flyers. That'll be Jimmy Murphy's best bet. My best bet is going to be, I'm going to go with the Carolina Hurricanes team total over 3.5. I like the full game as well, but I want to isolate Carolina specifically because Delia's back for the first time in a very long time. He hasn't been good, he hasn't been good. He hasn't played in a while. When he has played, he's been up and down. The defense in front of him's in a bad way right now, the Blackhawks. They can't keep the puck out of their own net. They can't stay out of the box. Penalty kill has started to struggle, giving the puck away too much, putting too much duress on their goalies. That's probably going to be some trouble here for Chicago tonight. And again, they've been good to give up four goals at least to their opponent in all their recent games. I think more of the same tonight. So Carolina, team total over 3.5, minus 145. That'll be my best bet for this Tuesday NHL card. That'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. Thanks to everyone, as always, for tuning in live on YouTube. We are live on YouTube 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, you can download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeart. You can find the Ice Guys podcast there on all of those outlets. For Jimmy Murphy, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Tuesday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we will talk to you again tomorrow on Wednesday for another edition of the Ice Guys presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.